The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. The post-Memorial Day weekend, June 1st, is now upon us. I can't believe how fast time is going, but it is going. It is going, right? Hope you had a good one. I had an interesting one I'll tell you briefly about. So did a lot of cooking this weekend, did not go to the race. On Sunday, had folks over at my house. We have a pool and a golf cart, and the golf cart is a little bit old. It squeaks and squeals, but it does its job. It's a gas-powered one. And one of my friend's sons were driving down the hill behind my house and started smoking. So we kind of jumped up to go check it out. And about that time, he turned and booked up the hill, and the golf cart was on fire. Too far away to drag a hose, so I jump over to my bass boat, start digging around for the fire extinguisher, pull it out. It's about the size of your forearm. And by the time we get back to the golf cart, it was engulfed in flames. So the golf cart burnt completely to the ground. I mean, nothing was left except the metal frame, tires and all. We finally, at some point, thought we should probably call the fire department. So we called the good folks down at the Perry City Volunteer Fire Department there on Strain Ridge Road. And they so kindly came up and finished it off. But by the time they got there, it was just a very low fire, but it was a monster fire, billowing black smoke, and that was the excitement of my house on Memorial Day. So I guess the only good news is I'm going to get a new golf cart. So if you have any ideas, let me know. If you want to see the pictures of the burnt golf cart, you can go to the WGCL Facebook page, and Glass posted the before and the after pictures of the now infamous fire that happened on Memorial Day. All right. We're going to have a fun one today. We're going to give you some market updates, a lot of stuff going on. We're going to talk about beneficiary planning when you have a troubled adult child, and whether that means they just are spendthrift or maybe they have a bad addiction of some types. We're going to talk about how to handle that. And then later on, my buddy Marty James, CPA out of Plainfield, is going to call in. We're going to go through some tax tips that all of you need to know, especially if you're self-employed. We haven't talked much about the self-employed. We want to get you up to speed as well, because we are halfway through the year and this new tax law went into effect January 1, so we have 6 more months to make sure that you do whatever you need to do for 2018. All right, let's do a little news of the week, brought to you this week again by Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. If you want to learn more about the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame, go to mcshof.com or simply Google Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. Their banquet's coming up soon. I'm sure the tables are being sold quickly, and that's kind of the cool thing each year, because you have a new class of inductees. So, for instance, if I was inducted, which I never will be, but if I was inducted, then, of course, all my family would come. So I would have about, 10 tables to sell, and that's the way it works. I remember when John Holmes, the retired athletic director and basketball coach at Edgewood High School, was inducted a couple of years ago. He had like 5 tables of people. So that's the way it works. But if you want to learn about it and you want to maybe even go check it out. All right, from By the Numbers, a little historical struggle coming up. 3 of the upcoming 4 months rank as the bottom 3 performers for the S&P 500 over the last 25 years. June is actually ranked 10th. August is ranked 12th. September is ranked 11th, and that comes from By the Numbers. So that's the old sell and may go away thing. We haven't said much about that this year. Feeling confident? Well, 47% of Americans surveyed in December believe that there was at least a 75% chance that a diversified stock portfolio would increase in value in 2018. That always worries me when you have a lot of confidence like that, because it normally works the other way. When people say there is no confidence going anywhere, then it usually goes up. That comes from the good friend, our good friends at the University of Michigan. Untouched, 91% of participants in defined contribution plans, like 401ks, did not change their asset allocation once in their retirement assets in 2017. This came from the Investment Company Institute. All right, the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage hit 4.66% last week. That's the highest level in the United States since 2011, 7 years ago. It came from Freddie Mac. Watch the 10-year. When the 10-year goes up, mortgage rates go up. Now, we've had a pullback in the 10-year. When you have craziness happening like was happening over in Europe, the money flows to the U.S. The 10-year was down around 2.7, so you should have lower mortgage rates next week. Why stop now? The Senate rejected a budget plan on May 17th from Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky that proposed a balanced U.S. budget by the fiscal year 2023. Why I say why stop now? You know, why stop now? In our nation's last 60 fiscal years, Washington has operated in the black just six times, 1960, 69, 98, 99, 2000, and 2001. The Congressional Budget Office just released an analysis of our 10-year budget forecast that was made public back in February. The CBO projects a 10-year cumulative deficit of $9.5 trillion. Could be more, could be less, but either way, it's a lot. Future taxpayers, this is what's concerned me, folks, and you've heard me talk about demographics. There were 3.853 million births in the United States in 2017, the smallest number of births since 1987, when I was a senior in high school at Edgewood, 30 years ago. That's hard to believe. The nation's general rate of birth is defined by the number of births per 1,000, and it's just 60.2, a record low. Birth rates that have been tracked since 1909. We need people, folks, so go out and have babies. I remember in Russia, I think it was 1998, they had a day of the family, told everyone to go home, and the idea was go home and procreate and make babies. It didn't work. Their birth rates continued to decline, people leaving the country, so you need people. You need people for a lot of reasons, so I'm not going to say anymore. All right, last thing, Lemonade Day is coming up very, very soon. If you are a young person and want to participate, if you have a child, a neighbor, a grandchild, a kid that goes to church with you, and you'd like to get them into Lemonade Day, it's all about young entrepreneurship. You know, they build a stand, they sell their product, they make money, they learn how to spend some, share some, and save some. This week, you can go over to the banks, People's State Bank, Saturday, June 2nd from 10 to 12 if you want to borrow some money. Fifth Third Bank over at the College Mall on June 5th from 2 to 4. And they'll loan you like up to $40 to kick off your business plan. So kind of a neat idea. I actually did that with my son, not with Lemonade Day, but when we were going to talk about trying to do rental real estate and teaching him how to evaluate that. I took him down to see now retired John Miller at the IU Credit Union. So, John, congratulations on a fantastic career. He's a good guy, and he sat down with my son and kind of shared with him how banks look at real estate deals. So I think it's great to get a young person across the desk from a banker like that and just learn the process of how we borrow money and then how you pay back money. So very good program. They have over 500 people registered currently, and they're looking for 750 by Lemonade Day on June 16th. So it's not too late to sign up. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, a little market update, and then we'll keep moving on with beneficiary planning. And then Marty James, CPA out of Mooresville, will be calling in on his way to Lake St. Clair, which is a smallmouth lake up near Detroit. So we'll get that fishing update as well. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone, to Your Money with David Hayes. It's the market update portion of the show. Rod Holloway now joins us on the phone. But last week, of course, a short week. No, it was a long week. Today was this was a short week. I get my weeks confused, Rod. Maybe too much partying and too much burning up golf carts this weekend must have thrown me off just a little bit. But we had a lot of geopolitical uncertainty that affected stocks last week. Of course, the historic meeting between U.S. and North Korea was temporarily called off. We've had Saudi Arabia and Russia considering easing back oil supplies. That caused prices of oil to respond. We had a lot of stuff. We had some solid corporate earnings, though, that kept things moving forward. And let's see, we had factory sector stuff. We had business confidence that was strong. A lot of stuff, a lot of mixed data. And then we get the information or some news out of Italy, which sort of shocked things a little bit. So, Rod, we got to put this all in perspective for people. And then I'm going to discuss keeping a long-term perspective, of course, when it comes to investing. That Italy thing, you know, that kind of hit me Wednesday morning. I was like, okay, let me read this in detail. And some of the things I was reading, Rod, I just like, are you kidding me? I mean, we're talking about a country wrestling with toxic combination of political turmoil, a stagnant and debt-laden economy, high unemployment, mass migration. I mean, it's a mess, and it looks like they just want to make it even messier.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and that's the confusing thing over there. You know, Glass has brought it up multiple times when I call into his show in the morning, which is, hey, wait a minute here. This was a big deal. You know, the pigs, Portugal, Italy, Greece, Spain, that was a big deal a while ago, and all of a sudden it's just gone. And I'm like, well, it isn't gone. It's just been removed from the media attention for whatever reason. And then lo and behold, it crept back up. They couldn't form the government, so now there may end up having to be a new election. What we're seeing is that the populism approach of, you know, starting to think about your country first and other countries second, it's kind of sweeping the globe. We saw it with Brexit. Nobody thought it would happen, but oh, lo and behold, Britain had said, you know what, we're tired of Brussels telling us what to do, so they make their move. You know, everybody says that's a lot of what behind got Donald Trump elected. He wasn't a politician, and he was promising to go in and change the way things had always been done. So it isn't just here in the United States in which we had kind of an odd election that took a turn that seemed to be different than what anybody anticipated. This is going on all over the place. And every time we think that we feel comfortable that, okay, maybe the problem isn't fully resolved, but at least it's on the right path and we can kind of forget about it, then eventually it rears its ugly head back up and reminds us that, oh, yeah, hey, wait a minute here. We haven't completely gone away. We've just kind of settled down and we've been put on the back burner for a little while. And that's what happened with Italy. Once again, it's no different than the first time that you had the sovereign debt crisis and all of those countries were all going through the issues at the same time. Like we said, is it important? Yes, it is. Is it something that is going to tank our economy and push us into some sort of a massive recession or even worse, another depression along the lines of the Great Depression? No, it is not going to do that. So it is something we have to pay attention to. It is something we have to be aware of. But in all reality, what Italy does with their political situation isn't stopping the consumer here in the United States from going out and spending money. And as the economic data comes in, those are the things that we continue to see. The economy is continuing to plug along. It's moving forward. It has growth. The consumer, being a consumer-driven economy, continues to consume. They're still spending their money. They've got a little bit extra with the tax cuts they have, and they're putting those dollars to use. Now, people are trying to determine where they're putting it to use, because not all retailers are reaping the benefits of the extra money from the tax cuts. But yeah, there's a lot of headwinds out there, but I'm not sure that any of those headwinds, as they stand today, can really overcome the tailwinds, which really the tailwinds is the growing economy, not only here in the U.S., but globally, in addition to the fact that companies are making money and they're making more money as each quarter progresses.
You know, anytime, you know, well, two things. One thing, anytime you have turmoil over in Europe, it seems like the 10-year Treasury, you know, the rate goes down. So I think we got down to 270 and we were up over 3. The second thing, and this is something that you and I have talked about a lot on and off the air, is that, yes, we believe that having a piece of an international investment, part of your asset allocation, is a good idea. But a lot of the folks that, you know, tout that idea because of valuations were saying 20, 30, 40%. And you've always been a little more cautious in saying, you know, we are fine with that allocation, but certainly not a 20, 30, 40% allocation. We're going to keep it closer to 10, maybe 15, because you never know what can happen over there. And I think this last week was an excellent illustration of exactly what you have been talking about.
Yeah, most certainly. Now, obviously over here, we have 50 different states, and every state is a little bit different. But in the end, the federal government really controls most things. Obviously, there are certain things allotted to our states that say, hey, You're in charge of this. You set it up the way you want, the way you want to do it, and the federal government allows. Over there, you have this overriding EU body that is kind of writing the rules and telling you what to do. But the reality is, not all those countries want to follow those rules. And some of those countries are now starting to push back and go, wait a minute here. What you're telling me to do may benefit you, but we don't believe it benefits us. We're not going to do it. So I think the whole thought process behind that they are in the much earlier stages of their recovery than what we were, and to think that their recovery will look anything like ours did just isn't accurate, because the setup in Europe and the EU, the Union, isn't anything like the setup is here for the United States. So that's what's always cautioned me, is that, yep, valuations look good over there in Europe. Yep, the economy in many of those countries looks pretty solid. But all it takes is one of them to make a big change to really turn things upside down. So that's kind of what you have right now with Italy. And the greatest fear with Italy right now isn't just the fact that there could be another election to try and get enough votes to form a government. It's what if they decide they want to leave the European
contagion.
Union?
Yeah, it's
you
the
know,
contagion.
And then does it create
right.
that domino effect right. that spills over into other countries?
Right. I mean, you have Britain, and Italy, France. I mean, you can name it. I mean, it's just the domino effect. That's why, Hot Rod, we keep a very long-term perspective when it comes to our clients, and anyone listening should as well, because it has its rewards. I was looking at a Legg Mason piece. From 1937 to 2007, the S&P 500 has had an average return of 11.9%. Now, it came in this fashion: 62 positive years, 19 negative years. In the 62 positive years, the average return was 19.4%. In the 19 negative years, the average return, negative 12.6. So to get the average of 11.9, you got to hang in there. You need those positive years, and you're going to have to take those negative years as well, because there's nobody that can time this right. In fact, when you look at the down years, there's been four down years where it's just 0 to 6% down, 10 down years from 6 to 12% down the most, and only three down years where we had a 24% or more down turn, and that was in 2008, 74, and 1937. And then you've had 19 years where you've had 24 or better percent up. So you can't be thinking, oh my gosh, things are getting rotten over here or rotten over there, and I'm going to go sit here or sit there and wait for this or wait for that, because, Rod, you can't time this stuff. The key to investing is time. It's not timing. And I can't,
right.
I think, emphasize that enough. And I know you can't either.
Yeah, no, that's an excellent point. It is time in the market, not timing of the market. And I'm sure you don't have the stats in front of you today, as I don't, but you've talked about it many times on the radio, which is, if you just missed the 10 best days, how big of a cut in your performance you get just by missing those 10 best days. Well, guess what? Even if you were lucky enough to avoid the down, but you didn't capture the up, well, guess what? You still aren't coming out ahead because you avoided the down, but you also missed the big up days. That's why building that well-balanced portfolio, doing it for the long haul, which also plays a little bit into our call, in which, while people were talking about these massive overweights to foreign markets of 30, 40%, some cases even seen people saying, hey, it makes sense that if you're going to in an equity market, you should have half of it international, half of it domestic. The reality is, we can accomplish most of our clients' goals with the returns we get here out of the domestic market. So why put ourselves in a position to invest heavy dollars? Like I said, we're not opposed to investing internationally, but why put exposure to 30, 40, 50% internationally, where we don't have a great feel for what's going on over there? We hear what they tell us on the news, but we don't have boots on the ground walking around, seeing, feeling, interacting with it every single day. And if we can accomplish the goals that our clients have and get the return they need with a better understanding of what we own, well, I think that's the best way to go. And I think the other thing that people have to understand, when you're talking about returns, we are attempting to maximize returns within an acceptable level of risk. So that means that those two things combined together, understand that. That doesn't mean we're trying to get the biggest return possible in a year, because that may lead you into buying a whole bunch of speculative stocks that, if they hit, you make a lot of money and you're up 40, 50, 60, 80%. But if they don't, you go to zero because they end up bankrupt or something. No, we want to maximize the returns but we want to understand and have an acceptable level of risk for our clients where they're at in their life savings or potentially in retirement, and they've already accumulated all they're going to, and they have to keep what they already have.
Hot Rod, we'll hear you on Friday morning, Glass in the Morning at 7:20 sharp, and again on Monday morning at 7:20. So I'm sure I'll see you Friday morning in the office, but if I don't, have a great weekend, and we'll hear you on Glass at 7:20 Friday morning.
Sounds good, Dave. Have a wonderful show, and I'll see you in the morning.
All right, man. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to run kind of long tonight. Beneficiary planning. How do you handle this when you have a troubled adult child? I mean, we're going to discuss this when we come back. But no one wants their legacy to be squandered on a harmful addiction or seized by creditors or absorbed by a contentious divorce. So we're going to talk about how you can kind of set this up so that you don't have that happen to you. We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, boys, welcome back. I was struggling here, guys. I had the wrong headsets on, got the right headsets. One of the ear things was up, and I was flipping and flopping around like a raccoon in a trash can. Alex bailed me out by letting the bump music run a little bit longer, so thank you for that. All right, let's talk about this topic of planning your estate, especially if you have a troubled adult child. Now, before we get into that, I want to first just talk about how your beneficiaries get money when you die. A lot of people will say, okay, my will says this, and the only thing that will pass through your will are the things that are in your name individually. If you own an account joint with someone else, with joint with rights of survivorship, that's where it goes when you pass. It doesn't go through the will. Or you have a designation such as transfer on death. They call it TOD or pay on death. And you can put that on practically anything in Indiana, real estate, cars, bank accounts, investment accounts. None of that goes through your will. All of it goes direct to that person. Or your beneficiary form. Your beneficiary form on your IRA, your 401k, your life insurance, annuities. That's where the money goes. So the will may only dictate or direct... you know, maybe you have a savings account in your name or a car or maybe a house, but all these other assets can will typically be direct transfer. So if you have a situation where you, you know, have a troubled adult child, and that could be in a lot of ways, you know, it could be, you know, you name it. I mean, it could be the struggling with an addiction. It could be marital issues, just the fact that they're irresponsible with money. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you know, anything more than that, that if they had $2, they'd spend three. I mean, we know someone like that, and you might be one of them. So the last thing you want is for your money to end up having a negative impact on your kids or your grandkids. And that can happen. I mean, if all of a sudden they've never saved any money, they don't have any money, and they get a bunch of money, I mean, that can have a real negative impact on them. Or you don't want to see them squander their inheritance. So a lot of parents are concerned about what they can do to kind of shield that adult child who struggles with problems like this from making bad decisions. And, you know, bad people that could worsen their child's situation in their lives. Now, it's usually a hidden issue when you talk about it in the estate planning conversation. It's a sensitive topic. Now, if you're just saying, hey, you have three kids, one's good with money, one's decent with money, one's terrible with money, that's one discussion. But when you start talking about, you know, some of the other painful things that come up as you deal with addictions and other things, I can see why people are apprehensive to discuss their troubled adult children with their friends or people at work, because it's private, you know, and they're worried about being judged from people outside the family. They're embarrassed. You know, I think we all want to raise our kids in such a way that they're good, productive, respected adults. I mean, we want them, that's what we want. We want them to be kind to other people, make good choices, and make you proud. So obviously, if you have a child that has gone down the wrong path, you're not proud, and you're somewhat, you know, you can be embarrassed about that. So you need to know that offices like our office or, you know, a good estate planning office, that is a safe place. I mean, think about it from the standpoint of you know, like that yellow sign that's outside of many institutions, it's a safe place. So that's where you stop and you start crafting a plan that's unique to your challenges, and these are difficult conversations to have, but that's what needs to happen. So what can you do? I mean, obviously, putting in a restricted beneficiary arrangement on your retirement accounts, and that's one way to say, okay, I'm going to leave somewhat of an income inheritance, and saying that I can screw up this check, but maybe not the next check. Now, that might just be someone who's bad with money, but what about someone that has a drug issue or a really bad marriage that you're worried about? If they inherit this and they're going to get divorced, and that will all go to your daughter-in-law or son-in-law that you really don't like very much, but you never admit it to anyone except maybe your significant other. That's when you can layer in things like incentive trust, where you have a trustee that is overseeing the money, and if this person is showing that they're doing the right thing based on whatever it is that you put in writing, then they can distribute funds out. Or you put a trust in place that, you know, is more of a family trust, so that the money goes there and it's not attached to to your daughter-in-law or son-in-law's divorce. I mean, so those are the things that you can do. But the real key is to have the conversation, because if you do nothing, that's a plan as well. Doing nothing's a plan. People say, well, I'm going to put that. That's a plan. So do what you have to do to protect your money, to protect your legacy, to protect your family, to protect your kids, your grandkids. And I'll tell you, I can't solve all your problems with a 5 or 6 minute segment on the radio. But if this is you and you're struggling with how to craft this, we've done it before. There's great lawyers here in town that have done it before, where you can do it in an inexpensive way, a way that will protect you. And you can always change it. I mean, what happens in 10 years when you say, you know what, this child is completely turned around and they're doing great. I don't need to put these restrictions on any longer. That it can change. It can happen. So I just wanted to talk to you about that because it's come up recently. You know, this opioid addiction is hitting every family, rich or poor. And I just know that it's a discussion that meth, I mean, you name it. And then bad marriages and other people just make bad financial choices. So it is something you should talk about. Know that your financial planning office, like ours or others, it's a safe place to have those discussions. But I can tell you, for years, I brought that up. I hit it square in the nose and say, hey, tell me about your kids. Are they good with money? And you see the squirming in the chair, and you just make them understand, hey, it's okay that this child's not or none of them are. And you just have the conversation. You put the brakes in place so that your money and legacy is protected from all of these things I just mentioned. All right? Hopefully that helped a little bit. All right, when we come back, taxes. We're going to get Marty James, CPA, on the phone, and he's going to be talking about the new tax law. We're going to focus more on self-employed people because we focused so much just on the individual. But what about self-employed? There's a lot of great opportunities for self-employed people. When we come back, we'll grab Marty James. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Your Money with David Hayes. Taxes. Boy, it's been a topic of discussion here on the show, in my office, in workshops. Everyone's interested in how to take advantage of what we believe is a historically low tax time and will be for the next 7 years. Martin James, CPA, my buddy from Mooresville, Indiana. He owns a company right on 67. If you look to the left as you're heading north, Investment and Tax Management. And he's in his car driving to Lake St. Clair, a great smallmouth bass fishing lake just outside of Detroit. Marty, I know you're in traffic right now, but thank you so much for taking the time to explain some of this stuff that everyone's up against. Especially, we're going to get talk about self-employed people in just a little bit. So how's the traffic headed up north?
Dave, I think we need a good recession, kind of get some of these people off the road.
To make gas prices go to $5 a gallon?
Yeah, this is. I wouldn't have expected this. You'd think this was Friday night.
Wow. Well, Marty, for people that don't know him, most of you don't, he is a certified fly fishing instructor. So not only is he a fantastic CPA and an investment advisor, but he also is a really great fisherman and is always bragging by sending me pictures. So I know, Marty, you're fishing the next couple of days. And then I'm going to be in Wisconsin up in Door County. Up by Wisconsin Dells, smallmouth fishing with Will next Monday and Tuesday. So we'll have to compare some notes. I'm sure your notes will be better than mine, because you're going to musky fish as well. And even though that's a fish of 1,000 casts or whatever they call it, you seem to catch one every cast.
That's not quite that good.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah.
Marty,
you know, hopefully we'll hit it right this weekend.
Oh, it'll be fantastic. I hope so. So, listen, Marty, I know you've been talking the same talk I have to all of your clients and people in your community about taking advantage of these historically low tax rates. And I think we've focused more on the individual. And I want to talk a little bit about the business owners, because there's a lot of small businesses out there. They're self-employed. They're sole proprietors. They're S-Corps. They're LLCs. And one of the big advantages of being a pass-through entity, as those are called, is this new 20% kind of offset. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that's going to work?
Yeah, it's the Section 199A deduction, and essentially what it is, it's a 20% deduction based on what we call your QBI, or your qualified business income. And essentially, it's not a deduction against your business income. It flows through to your personal return, but again, where it lands, it's not going to reduce your adjusted gross. It's somewhere in between, because we haven't actually seen it yet,
right?
What the return's going to look like. It'll land, you know, between your adjusted gross and your standard deduction, probably.
So basically, if you have $100,000 of income, this 20% offset, it's going to help you no matter what. It's going to be a good thing.
Correct. You know, it definitely will help you if you're on it and you make sure you're going to qualify.
Right, because if you make if you're married filing joint and you make over like $350 or something like that, it phases out. So it's not for everyone. It's true of that smaller business that's a true pass-through entity, like a sole proprietor or someone like that.
Well, actually, David, it really is for everybody. The people who are going to be phased out are people who are in certain industries, you know, like CPAs,
well, congratulations.
People like you.
Right.
Yeah. You're not going to get it.
So it's not just the income, but it's how you make your income. So that's what I've been saying with this whole thing. It was passed under budget reconciliation, which means for everything you get, you give something up. And it was so surgical. And just going through and saying, okay, we're going to give you these lower tax brackets. We're going to double your standard deduction. We're going to give you this 20% offset on your self-employment income. But we're not going to let you deduct, like, entertainment any longer if you're self-employed, or you can only deduct $10,000 on your state and local income taxes, property taxes, or you can't do casualty and theft losses anymore. I mean, it was so surgical, or that because you're a CPA, financial advisor, some other service person, real estate agents, I think are okay. I don't know, but I think they're okay because they sell a product, kind of sell something. I don't know. We'll see. But it's just kind of crazy how surgical it was. But with that said, Marty, I know you've been talking the same talk I have, which says, listen, the Congressional Budget Office said, David Walker, 2007, said that taxes would have to double for us simply to pay for the things we've already promised. And then you think to yourself, can taxes really double? Well, you have to take a look in history, and you say, well, where have taxes been in the past? And they have been double. The top marginal, even the lowest marginal tax bracket back in like 1970s was around 20%. So yes, it has been. And what we have is an opportunity here to not only take advantage of deductions and things off our income, but to move money from taxable to tax-free through things like Roth conversions. I know you're a huge advocate of that.
Absolutely. And don't forget, in 1943, it was a 94% highest marginal bracket.
Yeah, and we tell the Ronald Reagan story, right? Do you tell that one as well?
That's right.
Yeah, it's the best one. Everyone can relate to it, and it's just eye-popping.
Yeah.
That you know, in today's world, that would be like someone making, I think, close to what, $1.7 million, $1.8 million. I don't know. I haven't done exact math on that.
It might even been a little higher. I tried to do the math once, but I'm an accountant, not a mathematician.
Yeah, there you go. So Marty, I appreciate you taking all this time, but I wanted you to show us your brilliance and give us some real nuggets here before we have to let you go.
Okay. So it's really about this marginal bracket. I mean, look what they did. They spread out that 22% bracket. So it's possible, like last year, you were in a 28% bracket, and now you're going to be in a 22% bracket. You really kind of need to see where you're at. And, you know, so if I was, you know, in a 28% bracket and I funded my retirement account, my deductible money, you know, the problem with the deductible money is I'm actually giving the government permission to participate in the gains of my retirement account, but I'm also giving them the opportunity to participate in the downside too when that happens. So with that, you know, it's that spread of 4% right there. I've already made money if I did a Roth conversion on it.
Right, right.
And if I do my Roth conversion, say, in an economic downturn, say, you know, the recession is when you tend to have your highest volatility and generally more in a downward direction, I could put it more to the government by using their money. So really need to kind of pay attention of where you're at and take advantage of this.
Yeah, and I know you are, and you're I was going to say, you're part of my EdSlot Elite IRA Advisor Group, and we just spent 3 days in Philly kind of firing each other up to come back and preach this this lesson to everyone, because time is of the essence, and this is not going to be around forever.
Yeah, my GPS lady just said something to me there.
Yeah.
But, so the issue is you have to really know kind of where you're at. So if you're like a small business person, say you have an S corporation, you're taking a salary like you're supposed to, but I'm fully funding like a profit sharing plan contribution. Well, this new tax law is going to work against you a little bit with this, because I'm reducing the amount of income that I have now that's eligible for that QBI 20% deduction. So I have to rethink, do I really want to make deductible, retirement account contributions in my corporation?
Yeah.
Now, I'm a sole proprietor, that may work out better because, you know, it's not hitting the actual Schedule C type, you know, business. So these are some things. I mean, this new tax law is really, it's kind of making like an artist out of us, you know.
Right.
Everybody's a little bit different.
Right.
You know, some people are throwing gutter balls and some people are getting strikes.
There you go, man. Hey, be careful on your trip up to Lake St. Clair and send me some photos, and we'll, I'm sure, I'll search on the internet and I'll find some really big ones to send you to say that I actually caught them. That's probably what you
All right.
Oh, man, be careful.
Yeah,
I'll talk
exactly.
to you soon.
All right, bye.
See ya, bye. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into questions of the week. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Oh, Marty struggled a little bit up in traffic, 465, GPS barking at him. I'm asking him tax questions. We're stumbling over each other's words. Bottom line is, do a Roth conversion. Or if you are a self-employed business guy or gal, really evaluate whether it makes sense for you to put money away tax deferred, because that might lower the income that you get your 20% deduction on. So this is the time of year to know exactly where you're going to fall. And that's what the point we're trying to make with having Marty on. So we'll have Marty on again sometime when he's in his office and he can call in without a GPS barking in his ear. All right, we've got a little bit of time here for questions of the week. Let's pick a couple here that I can. All right, besides, we covered this earlier, besides something that has a beneficiary form, what are other things that go directly to a person after dying that don't go through my will? Well, anything that has a joint with the rights of survivorship. If you have a transfer on death designation, which you can put that on real estate, on investment accounts, or pay on death would be like a bank account. All of that will go directly to your recipient and not go through your will. All right, here we go. What's the maximum I should think about taking out of my retirement account safely and not run out of money? This seems like an odd question, but I'll answer it. Well, the old rule is 4%. Now, some are saying more like 3 now, or you use more of a defined income strategy like our bucket plan, or use an annuity that gives you guaranteed income, an immediate one, or one with an income rider. I mean, I just used one for someone who's married. The spouse is 8 years younger, and the company had an annuity that would give them income based on the older spouse, not the younger spouse, and the amount of income guarantee was just the amount they needed to get them down the road. So it actually worked. Now, does an annuity always work? No. I mean, it works sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. But generally speaking, if I'm just using a rule of thumb, I still use the 4% rule. So $40,000, you need $1 million. Pretty easy stuff. All right, real quick, got another one here. I'm working part-time. I'm 67, married. My wife has started her Social Security, but I have not. Don't necessarily need the money, but I don't want to leave money on the table either. Okay, so you are of the age where you can file what's called a restricted application. So you would file on your wife's record, and because you're 67, you can do this. You would file, you receive 50% of what her full benefit would have been or is, and you let yours grow 8% per year. And at age 70, you flip it over, and there you go. And I would do that. I would think about, you know, using that time to also do some Roth conversions to lower what's going to be in your IRA. So your required minimum distributions aren't so large. And remember, when you do this, you may have a $3,300 check at age 70. And the biggest check's the family check when it comes to Social Security. So you're right in the sweet spot. So that's the way I would handle it. All right, I don't think we have time for another one. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, wrap up the big show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Okay, so last week, week before last, at some point, I was kind of going off script and talking about my mom's tax return from 1973. I was 3 years old. Her and my stepdad, Zach, made a combined $16,900. I brought the tax return in so I'd be talking exactly what I needed to talk about. And how after their deduction and exemption, they ended up still paying, you know, like $2,700 in tax, and it ended up being a 20% tax rate for them. And I said, well, that'd be like making, you know, 30 or 40 grand this today. Well, I was called out on that, of course. And, buddy, I appreciate that very much. When you do the math, I forgot how old I am, but that's like, you know, 40-some years ago, 45 years ago. So a simple 3% annual inflation rate, let's use that, then that would be more like, you know, $60,000 this year, like $58,000. But even at that, if you say, okay, the first $24,000 is free, and then after that, the next, you know, 19,000 is at 10, and then the next section is at 12. My mom, if she was work, if it was today, and she was making 60 grand, she would have paid $3,939 in tax, or a 6.6% tax rate, effective tax rate, not 20. So sorry about my quick math that I messed up on last week. Hopefully you'll forgive me. So that's why you just don't go off the cuff all the time. All right, what's next? Next week's show, I'm going to be out of town Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, but I'll be back Thursday for a live edition. Mary Beth Franklin, talked with her on the phone. Of course, Mary Beth, former editor of Kiplinger Magazine and now with Investment News. She was on a river cruise in Germany somewhere, so we were actually communicating via email. But she is going to be on the show, not next week, but coming up very, very soon. And I'm looking very forward to that. So listen, I'm running right on time, so I probably better go. Hope everyone had a great Memorial Day weekend. I hope you have a good weekend this weekend. Stay cool, and I'll be talking to you again next Thursday night. Have a great one, everyone. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.